Karen, lovely to be chatting to you. Can you tell me a little bit about your role and what it covers?
So my role as head of service operations, I suppose I'm a conductor for the organization. I oversee all of the services nationally. The quality aspect of the organization, the clinical oversight, and then have a strong link into, you know, how things happen from HR, training, the finance, the budgets and so on. So really it's about being involved and rolling up the sleeves and, you know, talking to the services, being sure that they're run to the standard that the organization wants them to be run to, that we're providing the highest quality rehabilitation, that we're very clear on the services we provide and the how people access our service, and the type of rehab and interventions that they receive while they're with our services. And as well as that, we're very strong on, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, in terms of how we demonstrate the impact and the research that comes out from working with people with brain injury and being able to demonstrate what our services are doing. So in a nutshell, I feel like my role is that of a conductor.
You touched on it there, but what are some of the evidenced impacts of the services that you provide?
In more recent years, we've been in a position where we can gather qualitative and quantitative data from the services. It's what we call outcome measurement data. So now when somebody joins our service, when we do an initial assessment with somebody, we complete the Mayo, we call the MPAI. So it's the Mayo Portland Adaptability Inventory. And that's a measure that's used internationally with people with brain injury, that goes through a number of domains, around function, around emotion, and adaptability to everyday life. So, you know, it really looks at all aspects of life and how well the person is doing following their injury. And that gives us, we end up coming out of that measure with numbers. And when somebody is with us in service, then that measure gets repeated quarterly, and we are able to then follow and track how well that measure changes, or, you know, whether or not it changes over time. So it allows us to say whether or not our service is effective at an individual level and at a higher level. So you could look at an individual's tracking of numbers over time. You could look at, you could take all residential people who live with us in our residential services and look at how their numbers are changing over time, all the people who are in our community services and so on. And it really helps us see whether or not the services are doing what they say they are doing and helping people to gain independence as their rehab journey progresses. So that's one way that we look at impact. We also look at value for money, how much our services cost to deliver versus, you know, and we're trying to compare that then to other services and whether or not we can evidence the value for money element of rehabilitation, because obviously rehabilitation is an upfront cost, but then the same costs get recycled over time. So as one person's gains independence and needs less support, that same funding then can be used to support another individual with needs. So there's that recycling element of the funding for rehabilitation. And then on a much more individual level, you know, it's looking at people's stories, case studies of how people are progressing, being able to tell their story, being able to share that story with, you know, members of the public, and really highlight how impactful rehabilitation can be, you know, and supporting individuals to get their life back, to choose to live as they wish to choose, as independently as they can, with as minimal. Our role here in Acquired Brain Injury Ireland is to do ourselves out of a job. So our job is to not be needed. We're there to support people while they need that support, but then pull back as soon as possible and allow that individual to move on and move away from support, if possible, as much as possible. So, you know, we get to tell great stories for individuals who are very impacted by brain injury, but then come through their struggle. And as their rehabilitation progresses and they have successes in their rehab journey, we get to share that. And that's very impactful and very rewarding part of the work that we do.
Now, if you had a wish list for the service and if money was no object, what would you like to see the service being able to do more of? An easy question.
How long have you got? And it's something I often say, you know, when I'm thinking about services, you know, you want to, it's magic wand time, magic wand. Okay. So, I suppose I haven't gone into the services in any great detail, but we provide residential services, we provide community services. So that's where our staff go out to work with people in their own homes and their own communities to support them to regain as much independence as possible. We provide case management, which is that kind of link between the hospital and community and nursing homes and so on. And some a staff member who can help the person with the brain injury and their supports and their families to navigate that journey as they move on their rehabilitation journey. We provide clubhouse services. We have a national vocational rehab service that's helping individuals move back towards education and employment. We have On With Life, which is our carer support service. And we have some of these services are grant funded by Pubble. They're not all HSE funded, but we have a digital assistive technology service that's now added, which allows us to really focus on how to, you know, use equipment to help individuals maximize their skills. I suppose for each of those services that we already have, they're not available equally across the country. So that would be the first thing on my wish list, is that, you know, there is no geographic lottery, that it doesn't matter where you are in the country, but you can access all of those services at a minimum, as and when you need them. Those services at the moment are just for people who are 18 to 65. That's because of siloed funding within the HSC and the way the system works. Rehabilitation should be available to all individuals, you know, across the lifespan. So we are very actively advocating for services for children, and also looking for services for people over 65 who wish to engage in rehabilitation. And that would be a strong sentiment, I suppose, coming from ABI Ireland, that there shouldn't be that siloed piece. Your need for rehab doesn't end at 65, and it certainly doesn't just start at 18. There's a lot of very, very good work that we could do with people under 18. And we've already started to dabble in some of those areas. We have grant funded program called On With Life for the parents and carers of young children with brain injury. So we are engaging in those services, but they're not funded nationally across the country. They're not available, you know, all over the country. And there's limits to what we can do at the minute. But we're also looking at a pilot for individuals over 65, if funding allows, to see can we support people, you know, from 65 upwards who have very clear rehab goals that are beyond just physiotherapy and beyond, and much more on the cognitive side, much more. Even if you think about the age of retirement, the age of pension and so on has been extended out from 65, and yet your access to support is severely limited. So that would be on my wish list. Nursing homes and under 65s, that would be, if I could wave a magic wand in the morning, that scenario would not exist for anyone who does not need to be in that environment. We strongly advocate for case management, and where we have case management, that has been a huge, a huge plus in terms of preventing nursing home admissions and ensuring that those individuals who do go to nursing homes aren't forgotten about, aren't left there unnecessarily for long extended periods of time. A case manager in an area can check in on a continuous and a frequent basis in nursing homes to ensure, and they check in how people are doing and are they ready to start looking at that journey onwards from there. In the absence of that, that sometimes doesn't happen, and individuals are forgotten. So that would definitely be on my magic wish list. They would be the top three. I think what we do, where we do it, it's really good. And we would just need to be able to offer more of it. The model is very transferable at the moment. We only work with people with brain injury. But the model that we work to is quite transferable and could extend to individuals with other neurological issues and neuro-rehabilitation issues. But we don't have the resources to do that currently. And you can see that very clearly. Our vocational rehab step ahead, what it's called, step ahead, which supports individuals to look at returning to work or education. And that's funded by Pubble. Has had, you know, huge success with returning individuals towards education, towards employment, moving them away from being on social welfare. So there's a very, you know, very clear financial impact for the state. And that, again, is only available for, you know, within capacity for people with brain injury, but could very easily be extended to individuals with other conditions and that have massive successful outcomes. So, you know, in time, we're advocating, I suppose, for that to be, you know, not a grant funded program, for to be a program that's just available on a sustainable basis across the country. But at the moment, there's in excess of 12 months of a waiting list. So just for the people with brain injury alone, we need a bigger service. And I suppose if you could imagine then, if it was extended to other individuals, you know, you have that impact rolling out. In time, if I was to come back, you know, leave a legacy and come back in 20 years, those are the things that I'd love to see in place, or in the case of the nursing home situation, see that eradicated.